the conversation about faith, reason, and libations. First off, and before we do anything else, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Sláinte,
exactly. We are going to be celebrating a little St. Patrick's Day today. We're going to be doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're going to be doing our favorite segment that may be and will likely be a recurring Drunk Lives of the Saints. But before we get there, first, a couple things to know. We tend to be a bit potty-mouthed and or,
occasionally blasphemous.
Heretical.
Yeah.
So, if your kids are listening, put on your headphones. Say, this is mommy-daddy time for listening. And on top of that, you know what? We're Catholic, but you don't have to be. So, something to know about church drunk, all are welcome. And we're going to put the Catholic spin on it, and we hope you enjoy it. So, I am Guess, and I am here with Dizzy Diz. Happy St. Patrick's Day. What are you drinking?
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and all of our listeners. Today, I am drinking an Irish ale cocktail. Listener Steph sent us an email last week, and I really asked for some more cocktail recipes, and we are here to accommodate such awesome requests. Yes. There is a lovely book. They don't sponsor us, but you should check them out. Drinking with the Saints.
Drinking with the Saints.
It's an actual book. It's lovely. It gives you a little bit about the saint. And best of all, a cocktail at the end. And today's St. Patrick's Day. And this very simple cocktail served a few needs, as you will hear. Number one, 2 ounces Irish whiskey. I have Jameson Irish whiskey because we're Catholic, as we said. 3 ounces of ginger beer. And 3 lime wedges. And first you put the ice in the cup and then the lime wedges, squeeze them in, and then the whiskey and the ginger beer. And this was especially great for me because the ginger beer that I bought not only had ginger in it, but also lime, in addition to the half of a lime juice that I squeezed in mine, which I alone am enjoying because guess...
Sounds delicious.
You're not allowed to have that citrusy fruit.
I'm not going to say that my gums hurt, but I might be getting scurvy.
Do you have scurvy yet?
I might be getting scurvy.
I will admit that is a secondary goal of mine.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
For you to have a somewhat extinct disease as part of your Lenten sacrifice.
You know what, though? Pirates get scurvy, and I'm down with pirates, especially on St. Patty's Day.
That is thematic. We will come back to pirates. Yeah. So I suggest, listener, you pour yourself an Irish ale cocktail that's whiskey and ginger beer and lime wedges, really whatever ratio you want. Who gives
and
a fuck?
And I suggest, dear listener, that you forego the citrus, pour yourself a Guinness.
Ooh, this is Drunk Lives of the Saints today, kids.
Pour yourself a Guinness and enjoy, because frankly...
What have you got there?
I have scurvy. That's what I have.
What do you have in your cup?
Oh, I have Guinness. That's what I have.
Oh.
You pour it, and it cascades like a waterfall, and it's beautiful.
It looks like a nice pint, though. I mean, you're not really suffering if you have a pint of Guinness in your hand. Nobody feels bad for you, guess. You know why? Because I went to both a sushi restaurant and a taqueria and could not enjoy either of them
fully avocado.
Because of the avocado.
No avocado. I'm going to make a t-shirt. Hashtag no avocado.
I hate him.
So here's the deal is that today we are doing Drunk Lives of the Saints. If you've watched Drunk History, you know the general gist here. For copyright reasons, we have to, officially say we're not Drunk History.
Nope.
Like, that's not what we're doing.
We're not anything
we
except drunk.
We are, having some drinks and we're recanting Catholic stories, not quote unquote history. Of the people that we admire, who have been canonized.
Heroes of faith.
Thus, we call them saints. So, it's Drunk Lives of the Saints. There's generally large, boring books called The Lives of the Saints. And we're going to pick a few favorites of ours from time to time.
And, you know... Lent is a long, deserty, dry
season. It is.
Season.
It's a slog.
And the nice thing about it is that there's a few feast days that are scattered throughout it. If you're particularly devout, there's the Chair of St. Peter. We already missed that one. I don't even know if it was on it whatever day.
No, that's a good one. I was actually in the Vatican once for Chair of St. Peter.
Wow, you are officially the churchiest nerd.
Glorious. There's
this
a lot of
podcast.
Candles involved. There's a lot of candles involved.
I mean, it's kind of cool because it's like for a chair, like the seat of. I mean, really, Peter did not care. He did not even have a chair. But
like, what if he had hemorrhoids and he sat on a donut?
Oh my gosh,
that would be
we go so dark so fast.
The hemorrhoids of St.
Peter. I'm not even following
you. It's the feast of the hemorrhoids.
Christians of Saint anyway, Peter. Today's a great feast day because it's St. Patrick.
St. Patrick!
And it's usually during Lent, which is a nice reprieve. We need that reprieve. It's the oasis.
It's true.
In the metaphorical Lenten desert.
It's Lent. It's Friday.
We have no idea about commutations or dispensations. Yeah. Honestly, kids, do as you will.
Frankly, we don't listen to our bishop, so...
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. We ate a lot of beef. Friday.
We're giving ourselves a commutation.
But you know what? We had a happy cow. We had a happy cow.
Have a cow that had a great life and died and then was cooked by guests in a corned beef fashion, as we are wont to do.
It's like a 10-day process.
Anyway, and that's all in honor of this particular saint, St. Patrick, which has really become such a big celebration in the States.
I read today that the Feast of St. Patrick has become the largest party around the world, because the fact that, like, it starts with
more
Ireland,
than like
right?
Mardi Gras or like
yes, bigger.
Carnival,
bigger.
Wow.
Because I mean, how much can you invest in? Like, I read
can
this
you
online.
Cite your source.
Right?
believe him. We'll believe
it. It was from lifehacker.com. Not gonna lie,
legit.
But here's the thing: like, when you actually think about it, so like Cinco de Mayo, right? That's a very localized celebration. In fact, in Mexico, it's not even really celebrated
Mexican Independence Day
is
September 16th.
Right? So it's like
calendars.
It's a big deal in Flagstaff.
America.
But beyond that, there's not a huge. But like for St. Patrick's Day, and I can attest to this because the most impressive St. Patrick's Day celebration that I have ever been a part of, aside from tonight, obviously.
Tonight's been pretty great.
Was in Bogota, Colombia. Like, there was there was one Irish pub in Bogota. And every foreigner, every expat, everybody from anywhere other than Colombia descended on that bar. And it was, you know, like, there was maybe a maximum capacity of, like, 200 people in this bar. And they're, like, spilling out into the street. The cops couldn't even control it. It was, like, this massive celebration.
Wow.
So
and
what I was reading today was, like, the biggest...
accurate
like,
to you.
The biggest
like,
party
possible.
Around the world every year.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day.
You know what? I'm happy to believe that, and I hope so. Because what else would be as great to celebrate as St. Patrick around the world? I think he's a pretty universal guy. The Irish actually have kind of gone everywhere. And he's somebody we can look up to. He's got a pretty great life.
He's got a good story. So,
let me go down this road a little bit. You know, we've been lucky to know a lot of Irish people, and I've known some Irish priests. And so
I'm a quarter.
Feel.
And you're a redhead.
I do have an auburn tinge to my tresses, but I don't know how much actual Irish I can claim. I need to do like one of those like DNA tests or whatever.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
But it doesn't really matter because I just like his spirituality. And that's the great thing about Catholicism. Just go ahead and adopt whatever culture you feel called to that day.
Well,
or a conquering or a missioning. Whatever. It's cool.
On a bigger level, it's the great thing about the communion of saints, right? Like,
he's going to bring it back around.
Hey.
This is colonialism, people. That's how it works.
Don't discount
missionary guest here.
Don't discount my spirituality.
I'm going to tell you about it. All right.
But I do think that, like, you know, there's a crappy like Boston Southie component to like.
I have no idea
Irish.
About that. If you couldn't tell people, we are not from Boston.
I've been there.
We're from somewhere unnamed on the leftist coast.
I've been there.
Okay.
It's a little ugly on sometimes.
Oh, you did log some time there.
I did.
Man, I forgot that.
Yeah.
Guess.
Actually, I worked at
Patrick's
Parish.
Guess question whether I could tell the story of St. Patrick because he had worked at St. Patrick's
true.
Parish.
It's true.
But I'm going to do my best. And you can, you know, you can jump in. I welcome your input.
So my favorite St. Patrick's Day
collaborative that way.
Was in Bogota, Colombia.
Yes.
My second favorite, again, aside from tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will always vote for the here and now. But second favorite.
Saint in the making.
Was drinking, and this is where it gets weird, vodka at St. Patrick's in the Archdiocese of Boston. It got weird.
Interesting.
Got weird.
I did not see that twist coming.
There was some
once
priestly
again,
wrestling involved.
I am sipping my Irish ale cocktail.
The good kind, not the bad kind.
Wow. Sad, but needs to be qualified.
I was a grown-ass man at the time. Yeah.
I'm just going to leave that there. I'm going to do us all a favor and leave that there.
Moving on!
Another youth who went astray
I was not astray. Don't make me astray. But we
are... Do you want to hear about St. Patrick or yes, do you not?
Today, we are debuting perhaps a recurring segment.
We'll see.
Called Drunk Lives of the Saints.
So you can hear about two famous Irish saints. We're going to talk about St. Patrick and then St. Bridget.
No.
Bridget.
Yes.
Gosh, he's got a real preference for that D, people.
Don't.
Bridget. Man.
Don't fuck with my enunciation. We'll see. I'm not here to play.
All right, so...
But we're going to start with St. Patrick. So, yep. Most of you have probably heard of St. Patrick in terms of, you know, Irish saint, but we're going to dig a little deeper.
So he's not actually Irish.
This is going to tell us.
In terms of birth, at least.
Fact and fiction.
Although, for spiritual nature, he became Irish.
Mm.
He really embraced it.
Anyway, I don't know if I buy that.
Let me get to it.
Get into it.
He was born British to, you know, well enough off family. They had, like... respectable occupations. We know the names of his parents, and we know this from Patrick. He wrote his confession singular.
But he British was, British in what context?
Yeah, though? So he's more Welsh, probably.
Welsh.
Yeah.
And who was in charge at that time?
Okay, so Roman Empire. So he was a Roman citizen and was
British,
born to Roman
Welsh,
parents.
Roman.
Wow, I am going to be fact checked every single minute.
A Roman.
This is like the 2016 debates, and I will not have it. You drink your Guinness. So
call me John McCain because it's St. Paddy's Day.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if we can do this, people. So anyway, Patrick, who was probably not even called Patrick, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Patricius, let's say. Roman citizen Patricius was born to Roman citizen parents in, you know, England, Welsh area. And he had, you know, we can just assume whatever about his early years. But at age 16, he was kidnapped by Irish pirates. So those are those pirates that we mentioned to you earlier. Kidnapped, I say, on the very shores and taken to be a slave in Ireland. And something that's going to come back to us is that Patrick apparently did something pretty awful right before he was kidnapped. This will come back. So just know, when he was about 15, something bad went down. He then gets kidnapped.
So wait, what you're saying
and
is...
And he spends some time...
He deserved to be kidnapped by pirates.
I'm just saying, it's part of his story. Foreshadowing.
Just saying, if I had the option between being kidnapped by pirates
and
being
not kidnapped
by pirates,
when it's Bridget's turn,
I
want to
be kidnapped by pirates.
Bridget.
I want to be kidnapped
by Bridget.
Pirates. Scale of 1 to 10, I want to be kidnapped by pirates.
He's got this pirate obsession.
A little bit.
I wish we could fully show it to you.
Just saying.
He's got pants that are pirate shaped. Anyway, so Patrick ends up in Ireland and he's the slave of this king. And these kings are more like rustlers, like they're like city-state kings, so they're not like real kings. I'm the high king at Tara. These are like some like low-level king anyway. And so he's sent out to be a shepherd for like 6 years, and he's by himself, so his education is interrupted, and he's a Roman citizen, so like learning Latin and being educated would have been a pretty big part of him having a successful life in his native country as a Briton. But now he's in Ireland, and he's a lowly shepherd out in the fields by himself.
Why are shepherds automatically lonely?
Lowly. They're lowly. Both lonely and lowly because their main job is watching the fucking sheep and not fucking the sheep. That's their whole job.
There may have been a Freudian slip there. I feel like lowly and lonely are two different things. Just because you're a sheep fucker doesn't make you a bad person.
It does, in fact, much like cheating you intended is
God
cheating.
Damn it.
All right, so Patrick is lowly and lonely.
I had that one.
He's by himself. Guys, it's not a great job.
No,
right?
It's
he's
not
out
good.
Sleeping in the
it's
elements.
Not good.
And honestly, according to his own, you know, accounts, he had never really paid a lot of attention to religion. So his parents are Roman citizens. They are Christian. And he didn't really believe in God. He found priests foolish. Like, he just wasn't into it. And so this is, for the record, like the prime conversion story setup. So he's out by himself. He's sleeping under the stars. He's surrounded by creation. He's lonely and he naturally turns to God.
Yeah, that's what we all...
Giz is looking at me.
Last time I was alone in nature...
Please don't tell me anything I don't want to know about
that's
you.
That's what I naturally turn to.
You know what? He was a young man, and who knows how he spent his time. Let us not tarnish the saint's name on his own goddamn feast day. Have a little respect.
Why does it gotta be a goddamn feast day?
Because that's how...
You said it, not me. Continue.
It's for emphasis. Come on now.
Mm-hmm,
all right.
Mm-hmm.
So he endured Patricius, Patrick, our dear Patrick, endured 6 years of woeful isolation.
Woeful isolation!
But he actually had an experience of, like, divine elocution. He heard God speaking to him, saying, your hungers are rewarded, you are going home. And in the teaching, or, like, his own account, he wrote his life story, and it was in, like, really poor Latin because, once again, education interrupted. Mm-hmm, it's a tragedy. Mm-hmm. We should invest in education, just for the record, for now and in the past. Anyway, education's important. So Patricius missed out on it, and he said, you know, he had turned to God and had turned to prayers because he was out there doing his daily work, surrounded by nature, and his spirit was awoken. Anyway, so he hears this voice saying, your hungers are answered, you're going home. Look, your ship is ready. And he is like, as any much saints, God, there is no ship near me. I'm actually landlocked.
Fuck so your ship.
What the hell? Mm-hmm. But he walked 200 miles.
And I would walk 200 miles. And
he sang that the whole way.
200 miles.
He was a
just to be the man.
He was a brazen fugitive
at your door,
mysteriously singing that song, which would one day inspire a number one hit.
The Pretenders, ladies and gentlemen.
I did not know who that was. Oh, so he walked the whole way to the ocean, and he saw a ship, and he actually saw the same kind of pirates who had kidnapped him. They were taking a boatload of Irish wolfhounds, which is actually pretty awesome. Have you seen these guys? They're super tall, shaggy. Mm-hmm. Wire-haired dogs. Anyways, they're taking a whole, like, ship full of these wolfhounds to the British Isles, where Patrick was originally from, to sell them. And he was like, can I go with you? And they were like, hell no. You're a fugitive, and you're busted, and get the fuck out of here. And he starts to walk away, and something changed, and he heard them shouting, like, come back, come back, they're calling you. So he turns around, like, okay, we'll take you. And as a parent, like, way of showing, like, no harm, no foul, they're like, you can suckle our nipples. That was a thing.
Hmm.
I was a little perturbed, as was Patrick, who was like, no thanks.
Not gonna happen.
Pass. Hard pass. And they're like, that's cool. We can be friends however you want. Which was probably a little scary as he boarded a ship with them for some unannounced amount of time.
Like,
but
can you imagine if that was the NFL? Like, you guys are going to lose. Instead of us taking a knee.
Yeah. It was their version of, like, kiss and make up. Nipples. Was like, you can, like, I don't even know. I don't even want to think about it too much. But he declined, which is, I think, the most important part of this anecdote.
Attaboy St. Patty.
He was like, nope. And they were like, that's cool. We like you anyway.
Yeah.
So it took him a little while, like a few days to cross. And then they get to their place. They journey inland and find out that it's been, like, sacked by the Germans. There's, like, nothing to eat. They're starving. And, of course, they turn on poor little Patricius, who's, like, what, 22-ish of years course. Old?
Yeah.
And they're like, you and your faith, you know, you've led us astray, and they just kind of want to blame him. And he asks them to actually have a little faith in God because they're making fun of his faith in God. It's like they have like 30 seconds of like sincere prayer. And for the one and only time in anyone's life, God is like, cool, we'll take that, and sends a herd of pigs over the mountain to, like, make them happy. And they're like,
just like in the Gospels.
It's a little bit like the Gospels. How convenient.
Very convenient.
Except for they're not Jews. They can totally eat those pigs.
Well,
it's a little bit different than the Gospels.
A little bit.
Okay, but so they're thrilled because they're hungry. And they're like, oh my gosh, here's food. Not only food, but bacon. Wouldn't you be happy?
Bacon.
Pretty awesome. So that was, like, Patrick's first kind of conversion story. He ends up back with his parents. They accept him.
Dizzy.
Yeah, I'm talking a lot about this.
At what point did he drive all of the snakes out of Ireland?
You know, we don't know that he drove the snakes out of Ireland, unless they're referring to the Druids, which is contested.
Yeah, in fact, we're pretty sure he didn't.
I'm pretty sure he didn't.
There were no
he
snakes.
He also probably never used the shamrock as a teaching tool for the Trinity.
No!
Pretty sure some DRE made that up. But
don't
you know
tell
what?
Me this.
I like it. I'll go with it with you, but I don't think it came from Patrick. Also, the breastplate of St. Patrick, his lovely thing was written like in the 10th century.
These are
love
lies.
You guys.
Lies. Don't listen to her.
Real life is good enough, peeps.
All right.
So, Patrick, you know, he went to a monastery, he felt called, he had visions, he heard elocutions all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, we'd probably all be saints if we were hearing Jesus talk to us on the daily.
Wouldn't it be nice?
It might be nice. So he became a, you know, he did miss that education part. School was not fun for him. He had a vision that drove him to go back to Ireland. And it said the voice of the Irish. And so he answered that call. He became a bishop. He studied, even though it was hard. His Latin sucks. He wrote one document called The Confession. And he was almost a contemporary of Augustine, just a little bit apart from him.
And my Latin sucks, too.
As does mine.
Success, my Latinus. Yeah.
Can't even pronounce it.
Yeah.
But you know why it doesn't matter? Because the vernacular. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Vatican II. Vatican II, hashtag. Ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, well, I mean, I can't really blame him for some of his shortcomings. Because he's, what, 1,000 years behind St. Ignatius of Loyola,
honestly, who was like, let's actually enjoy life. I don't think Patrick's shortcomings are even that short. Like, you know, when he, right before he was ordained, he did this confession. He confessed that bad thing he did when he was 15. Scholars think he probably murdered somebody because that would have been, like, the worst thing somebody of his age would have done. Maybe, like, some 15-year-old fucking murderers.
I mean,
it's terrifying.
If I had a nickel for every time I murdered somebody.
But, like, by the end of his life, so, like, think about it. The beginning of his life, he's a Roman citizen. He's a British. He's Briton. Yeah,
that's
he gets
that's
kidnapped.
It.
And by the end of his life, the British people have turned against him. They're like, yes. What the hell are you doing? These pagans in Ireland, they're not worth your time. They're not even real people. And he has identified with them. In fact, he says, just because we are born in Ireland, we should be considered less. Right. Like, he fully identified. He liked the Irish imagination.
Yes.
I think he's given a great gift to the church.
And that's what's fascinating to me about Patrick is that he is someone who was enslaved and escaped slavery. And then went back to the place where he was enslaved.
Yep.
And he said, this is where my ministry lies. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And, like, not to over-dramatize, but, like I'm not a slave, right? I'm not a slave. And yet...
You are actually the opposite in every way of a slave.
I can sympathize with somebody who says, like, maybe this is not somewhere where I feel the most free, the most liberated, the most able to be myself. But this is where my ministry lies, you know?
And we can relate to that, sometimes, like, the worst shit in our lives is going to bring out something good in us or something fruitful in us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, if we're talking Irish saints...
Mm-hmm. Let's not be sexist.
St. Patrick is the obvious, right?
Yep.
But we have talked already on Church Drunk about how the fact that, you know, there's a patriarchal church.
Yes, we have spoken about that.
And there's another side to the church. And if we're actually going to be...
There's like 50% more
egalitarian
church
drunkies, then we have to understand that St. Patrick played an important role. As did St. Bridget of Kildare.
Bridget of Kildare. Tell. Now, I don't know really anything about Bridget except one awesome thing about her.
Well,
and I'll let you bring that up whenever you want to.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
First, if we're going to talk about St. Bridget, Drunk Lives of the Saints.
Yes. She does not get as much play as Patrick. She is not one of the number one, like, celebrated holidays. All this adoration.
And yet, St. Patrick, with his, you know, shamrock, can stick it where the sun don't shine. Because, like, St. Bridget...
Still don't think he touched a shamrock.
...was actually pretty awesome.
Okay.
So before we even
get
started...
We know Irish women to be awesome.
This is true.
And feisty.
And this is true. Mm-hmm. And I need to differentiate right now, because St. Bridget...
Yes, guest really wants us to acknowledge the D in Bridget of
Kildare. Opposed to St. Bridget.
And I think this is for solely personal reasons.
Who I think is the same, but I've known some Bridgets, and I have some issues with Bridgets.
Now, I guess we might have some Bridgets listening.
And you know what? If you're a Bridget who is listening...
Unfollow us.
God bless you, and
guess
have fun.
You.
But I've had some issues with Bridgets. For various reasons,
just the Bridget, way you say it, like a
Bridget was a fantastic woman. And
okay, Bridget.
So if we were to document the drunk life of St. Bridget of Kildare, She's a fascinating character. In fact, she was born in the same time frame, like, historically speaking.
And I don't even think I said, like, Patrick was probably around, like, 407.
Yeah, like,
and then
like,
the 5th century.
Like, okay. Yeah, I would say 400s is where we can put St. Patrick. So, St. Bridget, we can put her in the same time frame.
Okay. So, perhaps contemporary. Do they know each other? Do we know?
So, is there? Well,
I have not actually watched the Confessions or read them.
Allow me to extrapolate. So, St. Bridget, born to parents who, depending on which source you're reading, are either Christian or Druid. So you're in that gray area.
Were they just claiming whatever worked at the time?
Well, here's the thing.
Both and.
At some point, legend has it, she was passed off to her dad, who gave her to a Druid wet nurse. And
there were female Druids? You are blowing my mind right now.
I don't even know what to tell you. But
I'm very confused.
Because here's the thing. The legend of St. Bridget is that she was given to a wet nurse who was Druid, Celtic, whatever you want to call it. Pagan, right?
Okay. Yes, all of Ireland was pagan. And I didn't even talk about that. Okay, go ahead.
St. Bridget was like, I reject your Druid pagan milk, and puked every time.
Like, infant St. Bridget was, like, so holy that she was... Yes. This is why girls are better, you
yacking
guys.
Every time.
They don't even
time.
Need to be educated.
Like,
they just know.
I will suckle at your teat, but then yak it out.
Ungrateful child.
Yeah, right?
But she lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
She
well, here's the key. Mm-hmm.
Didn't
so,
angel come
at some point, and this is the beauty of having saints that were born
there's
in
a lot of nipples.
Those 300... Yeah, there's saints. A lot of nipples. There's a lot of nipples involved in your early saints. A cow came along, and St. Bridget was able to suckle at the teat of this cow to be able to get her sustenance, and this is my favorite part of the story, and it's also where parts get weird.
I don't know how
weird.
It could get better.
Oh, it gets better, because this is a snow-white cow with red ears.
Oh my gosh, is it actually...
Red ears.
A cow is white.
Because in Ireland... Even the cows are ginger that feed the little saintly Catholics. It's like, suckle at my teat, but only if I'm a ginger cow.
Well, that's how you know they're holy.
Mm-hmm.
And not
right.
Druid cows. The Druid cows are probably all snaky hair.
Dark,
Medusa-like.
Evil, yeah, horrid. So
when you're talking about that, it reminded me that, like, Ireland was considered, well, it was. It was pagan and outside the Roman Empire. And in fact, outside,
absolutely.
Like, the whole Greco-Roman area. And Patrick was considered the apostle to the Irish and was, like, the first apostle to, like,
right.
go outside. Like,
yeah.
Paul, you know, he was the apostle.
Paul was like, fuck
to the Gentiles,
people.
But, like, he stayed within the
yeah.
empire.
Because
the
they
most
were pirates.
Part.
He was literally, like, St.
Yeah,
Patrick
I'm
was
just saying,
stolen by
Patrick,
Catholic pirates. Or
but
no,
he
Druid
went
pirates.
Back of his own volition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether or not he suckled at a cow as white as milk or whatever.
A white cow with red ears.
I'm quoting a musical, which is why you don't get this, but
ginger cow.
Listening.
Ginger cow.
Okay.
All right. That's the important part about St. Bridget.
There's no
suckled at the
cows.
Teat of a ginger cow.
Wait, was the cow's hair ginger?
Red ears.
Oh,
red
adorable.
Ears. Yeah. No, it's adorable.
Right. Continue.
Now, here's the thing. Okay, freshly weaned from the ginger cow.
Mm-hmm.
St. Bridget, soon to be, someday, St. Bridget, she decides that it's time for her to step up into her faith.
Okay. So she really never had a doubt. Like, she just knew.
Well, no, here's the thing. It's kind of like Jesus, right? You get some stories about...
He was a wild child.
Well, but we don't know that, right? Because we have one story of Jesus' teacher.
We
kind of
think he was.
So, you have stories of someone as an infant... Suckling at the teat of a ginger cow.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to accept that.
And then, not a whole lot until, like, adulthood, right? And,
right, right.
And this
the
is what I've realized.
The years, as they say.
This is what
the
I've realized.
Years.
Is that people fucking hate teenagers.
Well, they are the worst.
And yet, we've dedicated our lives to working with them in the Catholic Church.
We work in a generic vineyard. There may or may not be teenagers.
This
there.
Might be a mistake, right? Like, there's this like, might be a mistake. But... So
we have for sure worked with teenagers. We're familiar with the species.
We still do. Come
okay.
On.
We work with teenagers.
We're in the Catholic school system.
They're
God, wonderful.
This whiskey and this Guinness is
they're wonderful.
Loosing your tongue, guys.
They're wonderful.
Treasures.
But as many of our teenagers have lived their lives, St. Bridget also did nothing with her middle years. So she was born, She suckled at the teat.
She might have done things. They just weren't recorded. You haven't even told us your source
yet. I don't want to tell the story of my students.
Quick.
Right? So, suckled at the teat.
There's been a lot of teat suckling. We understand.
Of a ginger cow.
Oh my gosh.
And then. She moves on and she decides that at some point. She doesn't want to be a druid anymore. Oh, no. The reason she suckled
at the teat. I thought she already rejected. She puked the druid out.
Yes, she puked the druid out.
She was like the bulimic of the Christians.
Except.
Is she the patron saint of bulimia?
Yeah.
That's not funny.
That's
guys.
A depth I don't want to go to.
But, like, they need a patron saint.
They do, actually.
Everybody
it's
true. Does.
Cancer has a patron saint.
If you're going to puke something out, it might as well be heresy.
Moving on.
We should probably adopt that.
So, St. Bridget, she becomes this woman after being weaned from the teat of the ginger cow.
If you say teat one more time, no one will ever listen to us again.
And then she decides that she wants to become a nun. Now, here's the part that gets
interesting.
Because
why? She didn't want to do what? I mean, I know she was avoiding something.
No, that's the thing, is that nobody really knows. Okay. So, I can't say nobody knows, because my internet research only got me so far, but St. Bridget, dad sucks and gives her to a druid,
right?
Wet maid.
That's not cool. Nurse, wet nurse.
That's what
that's the one who nurses you. If you're a person in those times.
So who cleans up after you wet the floor? That's my wet maid.
go on.
She then nurses at the teat.
You've gone over this part
a ginger cow.
Dude, guess. Okay.
Okay.
After the cow. No more teats.
I don't know where to go.
Make
after
that a t-shirt.
I don't know.
Oh, that's all we know.
No, okay. We know more. She goes and she becomes a nun.
Yes.
But here's the interesting part.
Okay.
St. Patrick supposedly oversees her vows.
Well, he was a bishop, and he did return to Ireland, and so it's, and he is known for setting up many churches all over, like, all areas of Ireland. Like, he was very efficient.
Correct.
And so it is not with, you know, not outside the realm of possibility that after Bridget finished suckling the teat of a cow, that Patrick oversaw her vows.
A redheaded cow.
Sure.
Yeah. So... Here's the legend.
Okay.
St. Patrick, in overseeing the vows, and I honestly, I'm pretty well educated in these things, and I don't even know what, like, the overseer of a nun's vows would be called, but...
Yeah, I don't know either.
In overseeing the vows, St. Patrick says the vows of a priest, and St. Bridget accepts
what?
The vows of a priest, and St. Patrick basically... On realizing his mistake, goes, nah, fuck it.
Whatever.
And his response is, she must be destined for great things.
Oh,
now, there's...
Patrick is such a good guy.
There's three options, right? There's three options that we can assume about this. And number one is that Patrick was just like...
Old and tired and did not care.
Old and tired and maybe drunk and did not care.
He actually has a whole story about whiskey and being like, when this guy did not fill up his cup of whiskey full, was like, you are obviously a sinner and need to repent, and therefore you would fill people's cups full. So he could have been drunk.
Could have been.
All right.
That's a possibility.
Sidebar.
Number two.
Okay.
He's, like, kind of sneakily misogynist and basically says, like, well... And so, like, when people called him out on this, he was like, well, she must be destined for great things. That's what the legend says his response was. So... perhaps he thought you could only be destined for great things if you had.
So
the
he
vows
was like not even realizing it, just kind of. Yeah, you know that happens today. So quite possible in 400.
Or
one more option, it's all made up.
That's maybe
fourth option.
Okay, that's
Dizzy's
the
option.
That's
always this. My option.
But what if this was the case? Right, we're talking about the 300s, maybe 400s. That
for
this
sure,
is going
400s.
On, right? Okay, so. What if St. Patrick was saying, who fucking cares if you're a male or female, right? Like this, the ordination is the same for you to go and do great things as a person of the church.
You know, he actually could have. He's kind of interesting that
he... A little bit, right?
He has some notes in his confessions that are very specific about individuals, including women. And he describes them in very, like, non-gender terms, like, just sees them as, like, real individuals. So I could actually buy that with Patrick more than others, perhaps.
Plus, you track it back that far, and you're talking about a maybe 200 gap between when there were actual, like, female ministers, so to speak, in the church, and when these people were practicing. So it's like, maybe St. Patrick, and I'm not gonna go out on a limb and suggest this, but perhaps March 17th should not just be St. Patrick's Day, but International Lady Priest Day, because St. Patrick said, hey, women can do the same thing that men can. Yeah. Maybe she's going to go on and do great things.
At the very least, that's a relevant conversation today. I mean, we have Pope Francis, who's reopened the door to talking about women as deacons, as ordained deacons, and also recently, rumblings about married priests, which was a tradition a long time in the church up until about the 12th century. So, you know, this is still a modern day conversation, and we've talked about the patriarchy, patriarchal nature, the pros, and the deep, deep cons of that, and how we all need to keep moving and discerning as we go along as people of faith. So
like
valid conversation.
And legend has it that St. Patrick,
we've got some Irish history to back us up here.
St. Brigid was ready, because not Bridget.
Yeah, there's a D
with issues. Okay. But St. Brigid, at the point where she received her actual call to become a nun, St. Patrick was like, hey, priest, nun.
It's all the same. Because it's the same God.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that actually matches up with the Irish imagination and with nature and the creator God. And we have this St. Patrick's, you know, his famous breastplate, and comes out of him, like, mysteriously appearing as a deer so he wouldn't get killed. And this idea of creation as a sacramental experience. And that's not gender specific.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with it.
Totally.
I like it. I like that you highlighted that. You know, guess you are really living up to your...
It just feels like there's a natural transition. So from that point on, right, like St. Patrick, he's doing his thing. St. Brigid, she's doing her thing. And she basically, from what I can gather, was someone that people wanted to hang out with. To follow her direction.
Charismatic leader, maybe.
Yeah, because she was like, hey, let's start a convent over there. Let's start a monastery over there. And people kind of followed her lead. So there's not a lot that's extraordinary about who she is or what she did.
She's got a lot of miracles attributed to her.
Yeah, I mean, like, she kind of roamed the Irish countryside and did a lot of stuff, which is great. Like, that's all fantastic. But, like, the biggest thing was that she started saying, let's start some real communities to have everybody living together and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And beyond that, you know, like, it's kind of like the huge, you know, like, we've all lived a life of faith, or maybe we haven't. I don't know. Like, you and I
have. We're all called to it in some way or another.
And there's nothing that I saw in, like, my research of what she did in Ireland that was, like, extraordinary. You know, like, she every saint...
There's these miracles. I mean, I think that's... But that was, like, the language of the day to, like, show proof. You know, you kind of had to have that.
But for the most part, from, like, what she was attributed for, like, what her real impact was being, like, pointing to a place and saying, let's start a convent there.
She was
there.
Like the original bossy, like, woman.
Yes.
You know, like, she was a leader. Like,
but the thing is, like, when you actually, when your bossiness, like, resonates through the ages, that means that there's an element to it that people actually want to follow.
Right.
And then on top of that, there's this whole prayer of, like, the lake of
my
beer.
My favorite thing, the lake of beer. Guys, do you even know about this? We have a saint who's most well-known attributed poem is called The Lake of Beer.
So, and when you talk about the saints that are from, like, the like, I would say before the year 1000, You never know if it's legit or not.
No, and it's probably not from her, but it definitely conveys, like, her charisma.
And here's the thing, like, you can talk about St. Patrick, and you can talk about St. Bridget, yep. and you can talk about all these, but, like, there's a reality to them that is truthfulness, and then there's a reality to them that is legend.
Or inspired by, like, in the tradition of, and exactly. I mean, that's, truth is truth, and, like, all stories are true.
So there's this whole idea that, you know? St. Bridget wrote this story, poem, whatever, about wanting God, like, inviting God to a lake of beer where all of the people in heaven are going to hang out.
Yeah.
And they're going to get tippled, and they're going to hang out and have a good time. And it's actually a
very Christian ideal.
It's beautiful. Like,
you should check it out. Guess actually did a really nice St. Patrick's Day post that has both these attributed to inspirational poems that we've mentioned, both the lake of beer attributed to St. Bridget and
the breastplate of St. Patrick. One of my favorites. So here's the thing with those is that you never know if they actually wrote it themselves. In fact, most likely they did not.
Yeah.
But somebody somewhere along the line was inspired by the life that this person led. I think St. Bridget would actually be down with this whole concept of a lake of beer. And I think St. Patrick would be down with this concept of the breastplate of St. Patrick. Yeah. So it's like the lives that people lead.
And their legacy.
Inspire the poems that people write about them.
And, you know, the Lake of Beer, it's really, like, the first line. Like, she's like, I would like to give a Lake of Beer to the King of Kings. Like, that's awesome.
You should read it.
It's great.
Yeah.
I can't think of a more fitting gift for the one whose first miracle was water into
gold,
wine.
Frankincense, myrrh, and beer.
That's what he actually wanted. Yeah. So,
Which of those would be your favorite?
Beer. Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, gold's pretty good, too.
Well.
Oh.
Eh.
I mean, it leads to trouble. Whatever.
Gold. Who needs it?
I'll take beer. What would you pick?
Probably gold.
Oh, my God. He just shamed me, you guys, out of my materialistic self and then chose it.
Probably gold.
All right. Do you have anything else on this?
I got nothing.
Okay. So, thanks for listening to us, her truly drunk lives of St. Patrick.
Drunk lives of the saints.
And Bridget. Shout out again to listener Steph who asked for a cocktail recipe.
Oh, yeah. What's your cocktail recipe?
I gave it to her at the beginning.
Son of a. What's the lake of beer recipe?
It's lots of lime and for the cocktail.
Is the
St. Patrick Irish ale cocktail. But the ale is ginger beer. So ginger beer, lime. I think the lime is for the green, like in the Irish. And whiskey. And honestly, I don't think you can go wrong in proportion. So just do what feels right.
And St. Bridget's is easy. Find a small lake and fill it with beer.
A large pint glass. Whatever works for you.
Shout out to you, Steph.
Yep, thanks for that one.
Frankly, I know that Aaron has enough beer to fill a lake. So Steph, get on it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thanks, listeners. We know that you probably have your favorite St. Patrick's Day facts or traditions or drinks. We'd love to hear about them. You could email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com. And
or
new to us.
Tweet us, because we tweet now.
We are on the Twitter.
Yeah. @churchdrunkpod.
Yeah. So @churchdrunkpod, you can tweet us. Let us know what your favorite St. Patrick's Day drink. What should we talk about next time? We are going to continue looking ahead to our almost Easter reading, which will be of Lamb, the Gospel According to Biff. So if you haven't read that and want to pick it up and follow along with us, you should.
Yeah. Enjoy us next week. We'll be here. And Church Drunk. It's like Aaron Gobra, except Aaron Gobrazier.
There were so many teeth in this episode. I'm really sorry, guys. Cheers, though.
Have a good week. Happy Lent.